Can you hear me now? Okay. We spent a couple of weeks. Oh, man. This chair seems low. Oh, now that seems high. Okay. We'll deal with this. Good morning. We spent a couple of weeks talking about the 30 pieces of silver. And then last week, we talked about the kiss, when Judas betrayed Jesus with the kiss. Today, we're going to be looking at more of the story, and we're going to be talking about the 3 hours of darkness. To me, a very eye-opening discussion. First, let's read Mark chapter 15. We're going to look at Mark's account. Mark 15, beginning in verse 24. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." Two criminals or revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha! Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests and teachers of the religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him." Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. Okay, it goes on a little longer until Christ dies at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At about the end of the darkness, or the very beginning of the light coming back. In Matthew and Mark, the Greek word used here for this darkness is called skotos, S-K-O-T-O-S. It just means darkness, gloom, or absence of light. And how many times have you read this passage? 100 times, you know? Over and over we read this passage about Jesus' death on the cross. And we read that that darkness fell from noon until 3. But how have you ever really thought a whole lot about that darkness? According to what we just read there, everybody, except of course maybe his family and his followers, everybody ridiculed Jesus from 9 o'clock in the morning until noon. They ridiculed him he was a laughing stock. But this skotos, this darkness that fell on, and I think Luke says that it fell on the whole earth, which I believe it did. Not just region. I don't think it was a regional darkness. I think that the light was shut out. Okay, but turned off. And we'll get into that in a second. But Luke, some of the earliest manuscripts of Luke use the word, the Greek word, ekliepo. Yeah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Ekliepo. And this word means to fail, to be left behind, or to fade from view. Now, that's some of the earliest manuscripts of Luke. And this ekliepo is where, this Greek word is where we get our word eclipse. Okay? Have you ever wondered if that was just a solar eclipse in those hours of darkness? Okay, we're going to look at a couple things here. Pretty interesting, I thought. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. So everything is marked by lunar events, okay? And the Passover, which that's what they were gathered in Jerusalem to partake of or to be a part of, was the Passover. That happens on the 14th of Nisan, the Jewish month Nisan, not the truck. And it's the same every year because it's governed by the signs of the moon, okay? And on the 14th of Nisan, every year, it's always a full moon. It's always a full moon. And for a full moon, the earth needs to be between the sun and the moon. An eclipse would mean that the moon is between the earth and the sun, right? And a solar eclipse, this is the one that really cements it for me. How many of you got to witness the solar eclipse that we had? When was that? Last year? Year before last? Everybody get to see that? Let me tell you something. That got me. I can show you right where I was, sitting on the sidewalk out there in my lawn chair. Yeah. But I was sitting there and I was okay until totality. And I got to tell you, I became very emotional. I don't know if you did or not. But when totality hit, I got really emotional. I don't know why, but it was something. But totality generally lasts only about 7 minutes, not 3 hours. Okay? I'm telling you, I think God shut the sun off for 3 hours. And we're as this progresses, I think we will yes.
I was struck by when it was total dark and then there was just a sliver of light.
Yeah. It doesn't take much, does it? Yeah. Amazing. Okay. Now if you want to, you can flip over to Exodus chapter 10. Wow. I just realized, I was looking at my notes this morning. You should see my notes on this one. I started writing my notes down, and I'd read something else. Well, I'd crowd something else in there, but I can't hardly read my notes because they're kind of crowded. But I just realized, I was looking, I go, why did I write that word down? But I just now remembered. I'll get to it in a minute. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 21, I'm just going to, let me read a little of this. Then the Lord said to Moses, lift up your hand toward heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with a darkness so thick you can feel it. I don't know what your, I'm reading New Living. I don't know what yours says, but. Yeah. Yes. So Moses lifted his hand to the sky, and a deep darkness covered the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. During all that time, the people could not see each other, and no one moved. But there was light as usual where the people of Israel lived. I'd say that's probably a God thing too, wasn't it? He cut the lights off. Why did he do that? All right, to get their attention? Yes. Okay. We need to start putting two and two and two together here, because I think it has a lot to do with those 3 hours of darkness when Christ was on the cross. Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to look at it. I think if you, it didn't matter where you were when this started, but according to what I'm reading here, wherever you were, that's where you stayed for 3 days. Because you couldn't see anything. It was a darkness. Let me go ahead and go into this. The Hebrew word for night is L-A-Y-I-L, Layil. But this is not the word used there. The word Hebrew word used here is koshek. And koshek means like a condition of darkness. It could be felt. It pressed in on you. It was different from just saying nighttime, okay? I got a story about this in just a second, but it was a darkness that you could feel that just pressed in on you. It was a condition, not just nighttime, okay? And one of the reasons God did this was because Egypt worshipped lots of gods. One of them was the sun god. And so God just defeated their god, okay? I mean, that's almost all scholars agree on that. I got a quick story, funny story to tell you. That's kind of, it made this made me think of this little story that happened. Beth was with, I don't know, with Brooke and her kids. They were going somewhere at night. And they were out way out in the country. It was extremely dark. A lot of you probably know my granddaughter Piper. She's the middle one. And Piper said, "Cookie, I can't see my thumbs." She was trying to see her thumb. "I can't see my thumbs." You ever been down in a dark cavern like Longhorn Cavern or something, and they turn the lights out, and you're going, I mean, it's almost you can almost feel it, right? And it's so dark, they couldn't see where they were at. They couldn't move. So that is the koshek kind of darkness. In Egypt, when this happened, pay attention. In Egypt, When this happened, it was darkness for 3 days. There was the death of the firstborn in Egypt, right? There was the death of the lambs for Passover. And there was deliverance from captivity for the Israelites. The sons of the Hebrews, God's people, those sons were spared. Let's look in Exodus, flip back over to Exodus chapter 4. There's a quick verse there I wanted us to look at. In chapter 4, verse 22, then you will tell him, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. Israel is my firstborn son. And so the firstborn son was spared in this case of the darkness in Egypt. Now, on Golgotha, 3 hours of darkness. Look in Colossians chapter 1 now. Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. And that doesn't appear to be the one I'm looking for. Anyway, man, I thought I had that. Colossians 1, 15. Anyway, it called, go ahead. Okay, that's, okay. That's my bad. This says supreme over all creation. The firstborn is what I was going for. My problem is I study for my classes at a New American Standard, and then I bring this New Living here because it's easy to read, easy to understand. Sometimes it's not exactly the same. Okay, so Christ was the firstborn. On Golgotha, 3 hours of darkness, the death of the firstborn, God's firstborn, the Lamb of God was slain, and we have now deliverance, not from captivity, but deliverance from sin, okay? So I hope you can see the symbolism exchange between these two stories, okay? I think they were planned by God. Absolutely planned by God. Okay, next. This is pretty cool. One of the best, yeah. No, they went to the bathroom where they stood, okay? They just couldn't do it. Yep. Right. Okay, Amos chapter 8, one of the best messianic prophecies that I've seen. Amos chapter 8, and we're going to be reading 7 through 11. Now the Lord has sworn this oath by his own name, the pride of Israel. I will never forget the wicked things you have done. The earth, now start paying really close attention here. The earth will tremble for your deeds, and everyone will mourn. The ground will rise like the Nile River at flood time. It will heave up and then sink again. In that day, says the Sovereign Lord, I will make the sun to go down at noon and darken the earth while it is still day. I will turn your celebrations into times of mourning, and your singing into weeping. You will wear funeral clothes and shave your heads to show your sorrow, as if your only son had died. How very bitter that day will be. I just got chills again reading that. This was about, I think, 700 years before Christ. Somewhere in there. And what a prophecy. The earth, what happened in Jerusalem when Christ was on the cross? Earthquake. The earth shook. Dead came out of their graves. The sun, he even called out the time. The sun would go down at noon. Now, this is pretty important, too, that the time of day. He got hung on the cross at 9 o'clock, and he was, and then at noon, 3 hours later, all this activity that it mentioned there in Matthew, or excuse me, in Mark 15, all this activity happened during the light. When it turned dark for those 3 hours from noon till 3 o'clock, we read very little about what happened in that darkness. If you were a Jew, place yourself as a Jew in Jerusalem at the foot of the cross, and at noon, the brightest part of the day, God cuts the lights out. I mean, we usually read right over this, don't we? This is not theatrical lighting, okay? This means something. When we look at this beside Egypt's darkness, God is saying, this is the day of the Lord, okay? This is the day of the Lord. Let's look in, if I can find it here, let's look in Joel. I'll find it. I had it marked. Oh, there we go. Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, in verse 31, it says, "The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and terrible day of the Lord arrives." So darkness is, once again, darkness is one of those cues to the day of the Lord coming. Look, and I'm going to go to Zephaniah now, Zephaniah chapter 1, beginning in 14. "That terrible day of the Lord is near. It swiftly it comes, a day of bitter tears, a day when even strong men will cry out. It will be a day when the Lord's anger is poured out, a day of terrible distress and anguish, a day of ruin and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness." Okay? These are the reasons that darkness is ushering in a day of the Lord. Okay? And the darkness at midday was not weather. It wasn't some astronomical thing. It was God cutting the lights out, and it was justice. How did 90% of 99% of the Jews accept Jesus? Did they accept him? You know, Jesus was rejected as God's son. And so God had enough of it, and he said, okay, let's turn the lights out for a while and get their attention.
Jesus said, "I am the light." I mean, I think that's just God reiterating the fact that he was the light.
You should have. Now he's gone, and it's dark, okay? Oh man, 5 minutes. Okay, real quickly, Isaiah 53. I'm going to try to get through this because there's something else I want to do next week. In Isaiah 53, verse 10, these are some things, these next two are some things that sometimes it kind of rubs our minds the wrong way, okay? In Isaiah 53:10, it says, "But it was the Lord's good plan." I don't know what your translation says. "It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief." Look in 2 Corinthians. Okay, I'll get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." It was God's plan that this happened. As odd as that seems, Christ was his only son, and he loved him. It makes you think of Abraham and Isaac, doesn't it? All over again. Sometime we'll make a really detailed comparison of that. But in Genesis, looking now back over Old Testament, Genesis 15. Genesis 15, this is when God and Abram made the treaty, okay? In verse 9, it says, "The Lord told him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, 3-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." So Abram presented these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Okay, this terrifying darkness in Hebrew was called Cheseka. Okay, Cheseka. This was the feminine word of Koshek, that we mentioned was this gloomy darkness you could feel in Egypt, okay? It's a very, very closely tied word. Now, next, this darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves 400 years, but I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and at the end they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace, and you'll be buried at a ripe old age. After 4 generations, your descendants will return to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction." Look, after the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So God made the covenant with Abraham that day and said, "I have given this land to your descendants." Okay. Here's the deal. Here closely, I don't remember where it's at, but here closely, he said, what you got to do is you got to live right. You got to keep my laws. Now, this treaty keeping thing, oh man, I'm out of time. Crud. This treaty keeping thing said, as they walked the middle through the blood, it was like saying, if I break this treaty with you, may the same thing happen to me. Okay? So if you'll notice, Moses didn't go through it. Moses probably lifted up his foot to walk through it and goes, I can't do that. I can't keep the law perfect. I'm going to end up like these butchered animals. So what did God do? The smoking pot and the torch. Who do you think that was? That was God and Jesus. I'll lay everything I own on it. Okay? Jesus went through that. And then when Israel turned away from God or didn't acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah, what happened? The treaty came true for Christ, didn't it? I got some more. We'll touch on it next week, and then we'll move on. Thanks.